This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
I don't give a shit. I don't care.
We get that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic of podcasting.
I mean, you don't
have
to Google it. I'm just saying, just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm going to shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast.
Now my phone isn't on vibrate. Hey, everybody. While Corey mutes his phone, welcome back to the Two Dads Review Podcast. My name's Clay. That guy right there is Corey. We are the Two Dads Review Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to the Two Dads YouTube or Two Dads React YouTube channel, which is where you could be watching and or hearing this. And if you're on the Anchor app, thanks for still tuning in there. Just know that you can find us over at the Two Dads React YouTube channel if you want to see our gross faces. This week, we are now discussing episode 5, the penultimate episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and not as crazy as episode 4, but still had some sick WWE moves, fights, some good old boat fixing montages, some Bucky flirting with Sam's sister a little bit, and
I don't know, man. That was like, I mean, Bucky was definitely receptive and like, sup,
right?
But the way that first look went though was like, oh, homeboy's working with the wrench. Sup? Like, it was definite eyes. You think Bucky.
Yeah, she noticed first.
Yeah, I definitely think it was like she noticed him and then he kind of caught like the look and was like, oh, you think I'm special? Yeah,
oh,
hey,
me.
How are you? How are you? Yeah. You fix this up real quick. Yeah. Like, oh shit. Someone notices I exist. I'm not just fucking Eeyore all the time.
Right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he smiled more this episode than he has like in the entire history of that character since like the first Avenger.
Yeah, because even like any of his other happy moments were always like bittersweet, you know, like, hey,
smirks.
You can feel again. You're not a crazy Nazi-controlled killing machine. I just got let go of all of the guilt. You know, like, great moment. Still crying.
Still crying. You know? Still trying to smile. But before he got to Sam's house, you had to first get the shield from Cap right after he had killed that dude on in front of God and everybody. So that fight scene was... that was insane. Like, that was truly... especially now after watching him kill somebody else, it's like a meta, like not a meta, but a I've been watching DC shit all day. kill somebody who's enhanced. As soon as the fight started, like I got like scared for Sam because I'm like, you're the only normal dude in there. Like you need to make sure you step back when it comes to these fights, man. Because one wrong punch and he's gonna spin your head. He's gonna spin your head around.
Yeah, this whole, like, anybody that's a superhero is normal, like, just irks the hell out of me to this point now, because just the way they film stuff and the things that happen, it's like, I get it, we're from a comic community of peoples who are either like, I want it more real, or I want you to just go, like, full-blown, like, toonish with it, right? And it's hard to find a middle ground with it because then you have the like, well, why the fuck could he like fly and walk upside down all of a sudden? But in this scene, he couldn't stand up straight. You know, you're just like, gravity doesn't work the same all the time.
When
right?
We don't want it to.
Yeah. And, but like when homeboy got swung like a baseball bat and collided with people, like if Sam's normal and Mr. Captain America isn't popped up on the juice yet. Like, we, you know.
He is. I mean, he definitely is.
Do we know that? Did we see him take it? So we don't know. That's what I'm saying. We don't.
The general idea of the situation, especially since he was able to strike that man with such force as to kill him, being that dude was enhanced, the guy from Carly's group.
I mean, I get that, but we don't know. That's what I'm saying. The show has not told us, right? Did I miss that somewhere?
Well, we have not seen him drink it, yes.
But okay, that's my point. So you have this crazy super fight, and we're all under the assumption that there's really one super in there.
You're under that assumption.
That's what they painted. Like, that is the if you are just not going, I'm watching this with an eye to analyze it. If you walk into that room and you go, oh shit, there's three people fighting. There's one superhero. Okay, that's what I'm getting at. And then you have dudes get collided like this in the middle of the air like baseball bats. That's two dead people.
Mm-hmm.
And one superhero still. But yet everybody survives. And then, like, to me, if you know, you're gonna go Black Widow and Hawkeye and Sam and like all these people that are just you and I who happen to be in way better fucking condition.
Way better shape than you and I.
Cool. Like, you wanna tell me that they can run for miles and miles and miles more than like an average person? I'm okay with that. But they are all doing things that, like, when a DNA sample needs to like get ran, you go, oh, well, we notice now that all three of these people have elevated yada, yada, yada. Like,
genetic,
they're mutant
perfectly genetic people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's getting annoying at this point where you still have, like, this super serum and then a dude who's like, I ate burgers last night and drank 8 beers is like, yo, I got this shit. Like, no. Then you better tell me homeboy has a metabolism of 8,000 fucking thoroughbred stallions, and he's like, I ate 88 burgers because if I don't, I'll die. You know, like, he better be the Flash because he's burning so much fucking energy all the time. Anywho, point over.
No, you ranted. And
it's
part of
stupid.
And
like, it's getting annoying.
and you are bringing up an argument that isn't being talked about a lot, is that A, we never saw him take it. We assume that his twitchiness and his heightened strength are from the serum, but we also believed that you couldn't chuck the shield the way he was chucking it in that video without a lot of practice, and we know he didn't have that much time with it.
Yeah, because even they give you a montage of, like, Sam training, but by the end of it, Sam was doing 360, like, counter roundhouses and, like, fucking catching the shield.
Mm-hmm.
You and I could train a lifetime for that one run and to throw the shield.
Right, right.
Before we even got to the flippy shit. And we still may not even pass that part. And this dude is like knocking it out in a quote unquote 48-hour montage. Like, I'm going to assume there was a sleep break in there because he was really sweating a lot.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's over a week or two of some training, you know, and getting used to it.
And I love if we're doing the whole, like, good guys can accomplish anything kind of thing. I'm all about it.
Right.
But dude, just tell me they're like alpha human, right? Like, we realize that there are people born and their chromosomes don't all go right, so they bald or they get diabetes, they're fat, they're all Americans, right?
Why, you know, are two of those my traits and one of them yours? Yeah, that's not even fair. Yeah.
But that's right, that's the shitty hand we all get. And then the people that we actually see as quote unquote like normal humans that are superheroes are like the, if we analyze their genetic code, it's actually, like you said, 100%. Like, there's zippy flaws in it. So it's like, no, they are humans. They're just actually got lucky and were made how we were supposed to be before it all got, like, discombobulated down the pipe.
Before it became this.
The rest of us came out, yeah.
Right.
You got to give me, like, one more stepping stone between me on a really, really good day and then a superhero. Like, you can't tell me that just other guy in adult pickup league happens to be a guy that is Captain America's level, right? Like, right. Bullshit.
Maybe at some point they will touch on that.
I hope they do, dude. Like, and I And again, I hope it's a way of doing the whole mutant thing. Like, just make it genetics and just be like, yo, you got more of a Marvel gene. I don't know. Like, call it whatever you want to call it.
Right. But in the end, so and I completely understand where you're coming from. I don't agree with it because I don't think Marvel's going that deep. But I was just trying to say, like, that when they start fighting, I get scared for Sam. And it was with, and it was, there were a couple times in this fight that we could have lost our boy there, because John Walker likes his finishing move, because he was about to do it again on him when Bucky side tackled him. To be honest, though, and I was talking to some friends at work about this, I think Marvel missed an opportunity, because that fight scene was awesome and he was already using John as a baseball bat at the end. But when his arm glitched, it was right before, you know, Sam and John were going at it one on one, and he ripped his wings off. And then at that point, Bucky should have just unhooked his arm and just beat him with his not working Wakandan arm. Like, I think if he instead of tackling him off of Sam, he should have just, all it should have been was just like, goosh, just the arm like batted across the room. That would have been marvelous. No pun intended.
No, like, honestly. That would have came across like really cheesy.
Fuck you.
It would have. There would have been no way you could have painted that scene where it wouldn't have looked comical. Now, if they were in a thing where like he was near death and his arm got ripped off, or like fucking John Wicked off his body, right? Like, okay. Then you could be like, oh shit. I got an Indiana Jones slide through the door and like snag my arm to go save somebody's life. But if it's just like,
come on. See? That'd have been great. Even you almost like, look cool,
like,
doing it.
Like, yes, like watching a man club another human with his own mechanical arm is beautiful.
Right.
But to get to that moment, to make it like, oh, versus... is a very fine line.
Well, I would have taken that high, because literally when they made the arm breaking sound effect, I was like, okay, I can watch that. That's fine. We're good. Like, good way to go. It was awesome, but man, that because you had like that, and I'm not really sure anybody was really thinking broken arm, because we were all like, oh wow, the imagery of like when they were trying to pull the glove off of Thanos, like it's literally the same thing, you know, it looks the same kind of general idea. And then it was like crack, and you're just like, oh, I was not expecting that whatsoever. I just thought the shit was gonna come off. So yeah, that was, but yeah, you know,
I feel like I've watched too much UFC in my lifetime. I was like, yo, his elbow or shoulder's getting dislocated in
something's
moments.
Coming loose, just,
it's out, dude. Like, and like that. See, right there, again, I kind of get back to, do we know if he's taken the serum yet? Because he loses, right?
Mm-hmm. By becoming a baseball bat.
Yes. And later we see him making his own shield at the end of the credits. So to me, more ample like sync up with that would be like, was I almost kept my own with a super and a dude with super fucking wings. And if my arm wouldn't have broke, I probably would have ended up beating the fuck out of both of them. Cause they were still like fighting, but you could tell they were exhausted and dead. Homeboy was still running on like 1,000,000,000% rage. Like, he was like, I can do this for the next 28 hours if need be. Right.
Right.
So if I kind of wanted to do like a dun da 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 da, would be him like all doped up and like slapping his shield on, and then we see in that vial and him like fucking baning it, and you know, and you're like, and he's like hopped up then, right? Because I still think we're gonna get like a weird, not necessarily like there's a crazy like metamorphosis or something, but he's just, the way they show him, he's not gonna look like us, right? Like, that's a mask on or something, kind of thing.
Somebody's getting real messed up right now. Yeah.
Were you
surprised that he actually was stripped of his title by the government?
No, not at all. I mean, you just You can only kill people if you, like, it's like a grand sweeping of something. Like, no matter who you are, if you just individually walk up to someone and go, I murdered you, basically, no one in the world's going to go, I can back that person up. Right. You just can't do that. I don't care if that guy was, like, our number one target. You don't murder him by a fountain in front of your buddy. right? So
I'm also not surprised he didn't go to jail. Like, they didn't arrest him. They just...
That would have been a... Given the global... One, like, economics and everything that's happening, plus a decorated soldier, it's like, the best we can do for you, because you murdered someone in front of everybody as Captain right. America, is make you disappear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, like, the punishment, too, was, like, no retirement, no benefits, no... Basically, everything you gave your life for that would compensate you in the long run, you murdered somebody, dude. Like, we can't do that for you. So... It's in a weird way for him, it's more punishing because he is like, I was the soldier. I did everything for you. And then you put me on this pedestal up here and all the shit you taught me to do, I did kind of thing. And they're like, yeah, well, we thought you had a little more control under that belt, you know, pretty much.
Right. Right.
So when they strip him of everything, and especially the, you know, court martial, but it's like not even the like. It's funny because it's not even like the really bad court martial. It's almost like the court martial that we don't think enough about you and we just want you to go away because. If it was a bigger deal, like the news would still be going on about it and kind of shit. So it was like every punishment was a punishment to just sweep it away. Like it was the less you can then go do things or announce yourself. I don't know how else to paint this for you, former Cap, but you need to go in a hole somewhere and just dis-a-fucking-peer, you know?
Right. Right.
Which is what he did, and he decided to build a shield and pop some juice later and fuck people up.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you know that because he was instated by the government, they were not going to... The only reason he probably didn't go to jail is because he was their poster boy, and they're gonna say, we realize he did something wrong, but they're not gonna say we made a mistake. They're gonna say, oh, well, we're gonna take everything from him, but, you know, in general fashion... of the U.S. It's like, well, we're not going to say that we were wrong, but here, we're going to, other than honorable discharge, we're going to wipe this guy away. He's not going to give us a shield back, you naughty boy. You'll never hear from him again. Should he have gone to jail for what he did? Some international, you know, honestly, it's probably not for the U.S. to make the decision on. It's probably for whatever country he's in, who he just murdered a theoretically... You know, yes, he's enhanced, but, you know, the guy he killed was enhanced and a terrorist, but that doesn't always, you know, you literally had him disarmed and saying, I give up, well, or it wasn't.
Yeah,
me,
well, that,
whatever.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's where you get to, like, you know, is the enemy, my friend, or my enemy, right? Like, it's all the optics you're looking at it from. Like, if you're always about your country, really doesn't matter what Cap did. You know, you're like, nah, man, that's the bad guy. And, you know, right. That could be vice versa. Like, I don't care that they accidentally blew up the people in that factory while we were getting our goods. Like, they're helping the people, right? Like, those were just, that's the casualties of war. There's our bystanders. You know, it's like, but I also think, like, in a situation like that, even if there was... the whole little fight before and homegirl, you know, obviously killed someone. Even if that was her in that situation, when someone is like, I give up, I stop, I surrendered in any fight, you stop.
Right.
That is the end all be all right there. As another human, going, I'm done. And I know someone's like, well, what if they got a bomb or a knife strapped to the back? It's not fucking Die Hard, cunts. Like, we're not, no John McClane bullshit's going to happen right now. Okay? Like, get the fuck out of your real world little fantasy G.I. Joe scenario you just painted. Like, Christ.
Right. When the threat is eliminated and given up, you have to stop aggressing.
It's just a fact in life. In anything. Like, they're done. That person is done.
It sounds like everybody should know that shit, but you should, you know.
No. I mean, even in the UFC the other day, when homeboy was like on his knee, like downed out, and guy just struck an illegal knee right up to his head. It was like, I mean, there was a clear like 2 or 3 seconds between that. That was calculated, homie. Like, you know better. Don't do that. Right. The man was downed. Yeah, yep. No, in that situation, like any court of law do, like you just send out one of those phones and say, everyone tune in to this channel at this time. 80% say man should be in jail. Yeah. What 20% didn't? Right. Like, oh, are there allies of these two countries that are like, nah, he's cool. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But the biggest thing that came out of the court appearance was we got introduced to Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus. So that was awesome. Mm. You were excited during the react that she showed up.
I did, dude.
That was your reaction I put in the thumbnail for that video.
Man. That made my heart flutter, dude. Like, I've loved her since Lane. Like, just, she's always been hilarious to me. And then I've watched her in, like, VP and other shit, and it's like even if it's little guest spots that she pops in, it's like for that moment in time, she just goes, I own the fucking place. It's mine. And you're like,
right.
Mm-hmm. And she's just like a stone cold fox, man. Like, I've crushed on her for as long as I can remember. And then you bring her all in, like all fucking suave, and like, I'll run the show and don't worry about you telling me what to do. Like, I'll let you know. And fucking purple. I was like,
it's too bad we're recording right now.
Just gotta breathe. It's all about your breathing. Focus on your breathing. Nothing right. else exists. Focus on your breathing.
Now, so what do you know about?
I don't know the shit. Character? See, this is the part where man. Like, I love that I remember enough of comics and things, especially the ones I read growing up. But even growing up, I was the kid that was like, oh, you read X-Men and shit. Cool. Like, I watched the cartoon. I know all the same stuff you know. But I read, like, The Authority and Wildstorms and, like, their kind of series of comics more so than DC and Marvel and whatever, because it was too cool.
Right.
I was like, nah, man, I'm on the...
Man, I'm not mainstream.
Fringes. I'm on the fringes over here, right? So, a lot of the stuff... It's like the story's kind of there, but it's almost like a Scooby-Doo mystery to me. I'm like, is it real I remember it that way or not?
And honestly, you know, 9 times out of 10, the essence of the character is brought into the MCU, but it's not the way they were in the comic whatsoever. So the fact that she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent for a long time, and then she was like... She was a love interest of Nick Fury for a while, and then she went and became Madam Hydra, but she was kind of like triple agenting it. She was like, I'm doing this, but actually I'm a spy for this, but then I'm actually doing all this for like Leviathan. That's like her whole thing. She had a stretch. So there's no telling. Honestly, I doubt any of that stuff is true. I doubt she's – for the MCU at least. She's definitely recruiting people. She was the character was supposed to make its debut in Black Widow, and which is why like her introduction here was kind of just like, this is who I am. Here's my card. Let me get some sweet ass quippy lines towards your wife, and then I'm getting out of here, because we would have already known who she was because of the release dates get moved around. So she's definitely recruiting people.
Not even the straightforward conversation with, you know, Cap number 2 over there was just the amazing quick turnaround she had answering secondary questions that were going on in and like even the background to us, and having like enough like wherewithal to leave a question that would keep him thinking for enough to speak what she needs to say and be like, uh-huh. And then the best part about it, like being, if you think pimp, that's what she just did. Like the way she responded in just most like, I know I am better, more beautiful, more intelligent, and whatever I say is enticing you type of way. Like just in her responses to her. And I was like, talk to me like that. Fuck it. I don't care. I want a janitorial role walking through the side and like get in her way. And I want her to just like give me the look and say something politely insulting. And I'll be like, thank you.
And then step on me with those boots.
I'm not, no, that's a whole new brand of deep sexual frustration that I have never reached. Like, I don't think getting walked on by boots of any sort in any manner will ever be something I'm like, I should give that a try.
That like, seems I'll like something I want to do.
I'll do a lot of weird shit. Don't get me wrong. That one is where I'm like, that's a hard line in the sand. Like, you want to throw a slap around or something. Like, we can talk about that. But just like, hey, lay there and I'm going to go trample you. No, I'm good. Don't need that.
Oh, man. Zemo and Bucky have an interaction as well when Zemo goes back to Sokovia to the monument there for the city that was, you know, dropped from the sky and exploded and all that good stuff. Notable stuff that happened in that scene. Bucky again showed him that he's not a killer, even though he could easily have killed him there and it wouldn't have mattered to anybody.
And when did he take the bullets out? Were those just like already out?
They were already
hand?
Out. They were already out. He was just holding on to them.
Like, I remember, like, dropping him, and I got real confused. I was like, was he just, like, doing this whole stare-down conversation with the bullets in his hand the whole time, like, knowing that he was going to point the gun at the guy and go...
Exactly what he did.
I was like, that's some... This is a calculated... I mean, I get it. He's a dick. This is some calculated shit right there, like...
I'm just emptying all these out. Yep.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right. It was cool though that like Zemo said he took the time, he took the opportunity to cross his own name out of Bucky's book. So that was kind of, that was like almost like a sweet moment between the two of them. He's like, I've taken the opportunity to check my name off the list. So, you know, all of your, you know, work towards fixing all the problems, all the things you did in the past, you know, you're one step closer or whatever. But the most important thing is that when he turns him over to the ladies, he's like, I need one more favor. And that's what we get to at the end, which was annoying because we knew they weren't going to show us what was in the box. But we can all pretty much guess what it is.
I love how annoyed you get by that.
Very. Like, completely annoyed.
And the whole time you're still like, maybe.
Just a glimpse. Just a little bit.
Bit.
Nope, nothing. Not a bit. There may have been one frame of the very edge of the box opening, and that was it. I know someone caught it off the internet, and I was like, I am not slowing that shit down frame by frame. I'm sorry.
No, that's just...
It's going to be his cap. It's going to be his Captain America Falcon outfit. It's going to look awesome. Hopefully, it's going to be made out of the Wakandan stuff that grows out of whatever it's stored in, kind of like Iron Man and the Black Panther's suit did.
Maybe I'll have like the cool Lego, like, doop, doop, you know, shit takes off or whatever.
Yep, that'll be awesome.
It'd be funny if he always had to like walk around and like
with like a backpack.
Because that's where the wings expand out of. They're like, look, dude, we didn't know how to like. But then again, I mean, if Iron Man's like whole jet flying suit can be compartmentalized into a button somehow, then
wings are of no importance
at this point in time.
Right. It's gonna look great though. And it's gonna have a place where he can set the shield and make it work with his uniform, with his outfit, so he's aerodynamic.
Do you think it is going to be like Wanda's suit where it's like basically is it going to be like dark blues and kind of like darker reds like we saw Bad Cap's turning out to be, or do you think it's actually going to be like the more of the red, white, and blue, where the red and white's a little more of the main color in it? Because he's like, I'm not Cap, so it's not a blue, you know, and the blue's like the hints through it, but it's a little more like happier reds and happier looking blues versus the other Cap, where it's like right now it looks like it's a very darkish naval blue and a very blood red.
after looking at what the comic book Captain America Falcon looked like, and it's very standard comic book, like flashy, a lot of white, a lot of blue, all bright colors, I doubt it will be that, because you just can't be tactical whatsoever. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if honestly it didn't have some sort of like, does the Wakandans have cloaking tech? They do for their, I wonder if they can do it so like when he's flying, like you can't see, you know, everything thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if like he can do like some invisible plane bullshit. Like when flies now.
That'd be cool. But I don't think it's going to be anything.
But they've also established in these, I'm not saying like shiny bright or anything like that. I'm just saying a lighter shade versus these dark colors that everybody seems to have right now.
Well, after the comp, so we haven't even gotten to this part yet, but it's a very serious and very important part of the episode to talk about his conversation with Isaiah Bradley, and most notably the line that Isaiah says where they're never going to make a black man Captain America, and if they did, no black man no self-respecting black man would want to be Captain America or be that for this country. I have a feeling that he's going to have the shield, he's going to have the suit, but he's not going to want to identify as Captain America. He's going to identify as whatever he feels like.
I don't think he'll ever take the Captain America name, but I'm just saying, like, if you look at Captain Suit, mm-hmm. right, I don't think it's going to be that dark blue. I think it'll be more of a lighter blue and more of the red and whites like his suit is. And the reason I'm saying that is because Bad Cap's already took those colors.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to have two dudes show up in a big fight scene looking the fucking same. True. You need a good guy in lighter colors, bad guy in darker colors.
I would probably do the white and the red as the majority of the colors and have maybe the red be the darker. I mean, there might be some more white because there's a lot of white in his comic book outfit. So I think
I think in the comic book one, it's like white and red kind of through here. And then he has like a blue kind of like midriff piece with like white lines going through it.
Yeah, there's a lot of white lines all over the place.
Yeah, and then, but when you, like, if you looked at it, you would go, this piece is, like, white and red, and then maybe there's, like, blue going through the legs and stuff. So that is kind of what I'm expecting to see, especially since his other outfit was, like, red.
Red and silver.
The other I'm expecting more of that kind of Captain America. Like, I'm going to take the stars and stripes, but we're going to make it me, you know, kind of vibe. Not like I took Cap's suit and put it on kind of thing. I still think fucking
right.
Murder Cap is like clinging to those ideals. So he's going to show up like Captain and everyone's going to go, you don't belong in that suit. But then we're going to see Sam and be like, that shit's dope, homie. Fuck that guy up.
what if it was like a piece for piece the same suit, just with wings, and be like, nah, bro, I took your shit. Like I am what you wish you could be.
No.
Okay.
I just don't like that. Like,
just popped in my head. I was like, well, that'd be what would hurt John Walker more than having somebody else roll around in his shit? I mean, he's already not
hurt John Walker the most is him showing up as Captain America, hopped up, and then Sam just showing up. Mm-hmm. Basically as like, I got my sweatpants on, my tank, and my shield. You want this? Come get it. I don't even need my shit.
Right.
Like, that would be the worst thing for John. But I think if you're going to show, like, a good guy, bad guy, super off, like, Sam's going to show up all stars and stripes, but I think a way more, like, whitey and lighter blue and, like, red through it. And then Homeboy's going to show up just, like, blue, one red, and then star. And it's like... Yeah, your outfit even looks grumpy now. Like, you took, like, almost like you have taken the coolness that was Captain Suit, like, out of it. Like, you've turned it into a Hitler stash. Like, don't do that.
Right. Right.
It's just ruined. Like, and I think that, to me, the more I talk about it now, like, the better that seems a way to keep Cap off is ruin the ideal of Captain America to the general public. You know, and give them a new Captain America.
Right.
Like, he's not Captain America, obviously. Right. But he doesn't even go by the Captain America name.
Captain Falcon.
Like, yeah. We're not rehashing it. Right. Like, he's just like, I'm General Falcon. I show up and rock everything.
Right. Because John Walker's proved there's only one Captain America, and it was Steve Rogers. They should have just kept that. They should not have renamed someone else Captain America. That was Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, honestly, like, this dude would have been better off being named, you know, I don't know, just anything other than, like, Colonel Inspector Brigadier. Like, it could have been anything.
Right, just roll through the ranks.
Yeah, and the dude probably would have never had any of these situations happen, right? Like, just that weight of being perfect and being Cap is right. Not on.
You cannot, like, nobody can live up to Steve Rogers.
Yeah, right. And if you're not titled that, but you know that you're brought on to help and you are your own thing, and this is the name that everybody goes by for what we're trying to do, instead of, like, recycle something everyone knows, like, Homeboy probably would be doing quite okay.
True.
Super Serum probably would have never, like, I would have crushed that shit, would have never thought about it, right? But being Cap and knowing that Cap had the serum and, like, all of a sudden I'm called Captain America and blah, 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 like, it just pigeonholes that train of thought.
Right.
How can I be Cap if I don't have the same shit Cap has?
Yeah, makes sense.
What did Cap have that was different than me? Giant head, tiny body for a while, and then the serum. And we were good. Like, so I'm going to pop some serum and I'll be there. Like, I already got a normal body and a normal head. We're good.
Or so they say, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, slightly warped.
So since we've talked about it a little bit, the Isaiah Bradley and Sam conversation, probably one of the most intense conversations and relevant conversations in the MCU to date. And I understand it's hard when you're making just movies to touch anything social, really, because you just don't have time. You got to go from scene to scene and get through the movie. Now that you're into TV shows, there is time to step back and there's time to address things that can be addressed with the audience that you have. And you have an audience of millions, if not billions, of people over the world who are watching this show. So whether or not, As a person who consumes the entertainment, you think that they need to or must, I give them credit for addressing the issue up front. And anybody who's been watching a show for 5 episodes and did not think this entire season was about race and about race history in America, you're stupid. I don't know what the fuck you were watching, because they've been talking about it since the second episode. And
I mean, I think everything right now, and hopefully going forward too, is more of an educational point of view when it comes to this type of stuff. Because, like, I mean, most of us went through school and it was, this happened, and, like, you just kind of
skip over, like, the,
all right, yeah, and then you skip over shit. All the uncomfortable shit,
right?
Yeah. And then you grow up and you realize, like, what you knew isn't right, but it's not like Peter Pan shit. It's like intricate, interwoven details of your life that have been there forever, and you just never knew the other fucking side of it, like, mm-hmm. at all. And exactly. then, and like now it's like, for some, it's, oh, okay, cool. Let me ingest what I now know and process it and have a conversation. And then other people, it's like, nah, man, that's bullshit.
It's they ain't lying. Doing that. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, right. yeah. Notice how my voice changed in that Nothing. Too.
right.
Yeah.
You got real rednecky and like Southern.
I did.
It's really yeah, odd. That's how that went.
I read a funny stat the other day that was like something along like the most unvaccinated areas are the biggest Trump supporters.
No shit.
No shit.
right. But, you know, nothing worse than watching two middle-aged white men have this discussion. But it's just, there are plenty of creators out there who...
Well, yeah, there's plenty of other dudes that look like us that spout fucking nonsense all day. And I would rather be what I perceive to be on the correct end of the grand scheme of things in life. And the more accepting you are to other cultures, races, and religions, the more you will understand and the better off of a person you will become. Like, I'm not saying you're going to fucking like everybody, but it won't be this instant I'm scared and I hate.
Right.
You know, fucking Star Wars got that shit right.
Very true.
We'll keep props, a serious thing about some props, nerdy shit somehow.
Props to Marvel for doing this. It's about time now that you have a TV show that you can do it with. And I hope it continues through all facets of their TV shows and some of their movies, if they have the time for it. It's something that other shows, and I've said it before, Star Trek has done, you know, they've done their best in the medium they're given of sci-fi to touch upon. And it's not just Black history like they're talking about here in Falcon and Winter Soldier, but, you know, when it comes to homosexual relationships and transgender stuff, and they did do black and white stuff, you know, in the original series.
Trek has always been known for being a science forward show. And basically they never let essentially religion and politics influence what a natural like scientific progression would be. And it's in science, you understand. And if you understand, you're usually accepting. And they were very good about, for especially the times that they were in.
They were able to hold up a mirror to society with a sci-fi filter.
Here you go. Take a fucking look at yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, the first black and white kiss on national television was in Star Trek between Kirk and Uhura. I mean, things like that, you know, they pushed the boundary. Roddenberry pushed the boundary. Roddenberry had a vision for how he wanted the future to be, and he was going to tell everybody at the current time how fucking stupid they were. So it was a very intense scene, a very emotional scene between
Isaiah
Bradley and Sam.
There's a lot of
staring, a lot mm-hmm. of getting misty eyed, a lot of him just speaking his truth. The fact that he had to be the one of the nurses that where he was being held for those 30 years had to fake his death on a certificate for him to even then break out and escape. And then he has been hiding. And, you know, and Sam, even living where he did, it seems that he may have, you know, he had said in the conversation he knew about, you know, crosses burning on yards. He's like, I'm from the South. I understand that. Which that single statement being, and the way he said it, like as matter of fact, like if I lived in the South, like I, and was part of one of those communities, I would be fucking ashamed because the way he said it was just a matter of fact. I'm from the South. I completely get you that. Like that statement was said so nonchalantly, but that spoke volumes just for what goes on all the time in this crazy fucking country. Crosses burn on yards here and there. Like that shouldn't be a statement that you don't say and doesn't get a gasp.
My grandmother wouldn't shake my son's mother's hand because their skin was a little too fucking dark, you right? know. And it's just like, you made my dad and he made me. I don't know how we came out of it. Like, what the fuck happened to you?
Right. But just a very poignant scene with the two of them. And, You know, Isaiah Bradley got to tell his story. In fact, you know, the title of this episode is Truth, and that was the name of the comic that covered the Isaiah Bradley story, his whole back history. That being said, I would love to see if they had to, you know, with whenever they make it, is his story, like the story when he was in his prime in the comics, you know, what he went through, you know, him talking about saving his buddies who had also been injected with serum, but he's the only one that ended up surviving from the injections at the end of it all.
Yeah, I kind of want like a flashback, but not, how do I say this?
For like, a whole season.
Well, no, not even that. Like, I want it to be a flashback, but not where we get a new character that is Mr. Bradley, right? I want it somehow, like, there to be some kind of brain meld where Sam gets thrown back in the memory. And it's like, we see Sam in the memory, and you get, like, that better understanding kind of, like, moment. To me, that would just be, like, a glorious mind fuck to like watch in general, is like how they even got them to that point in time, to like where their brains had to overlap in some way, shape, like, because that just to even get to that point, like, some shit's gotta go down, right? so whatever the background story to get to that is, I would be all about it. But no, it would be really cool if, like, kind of to steal like the Trek idea where they did those little like side cast kind of things. Like if they started giving us like mini clips, right? That where you kind of have to work for it. And eventually, you know, after say Loki and blah, 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 and all these other ones come together, like you put like all of the little 5-minute things that had happened with this character together, and it like makes like a full blown timeline that you could watch or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like if they do that with characters like, you know, Isaiah and stuff that are, we know are of importance, but it's mostly like a backlog of importance. Right.
Right.
Give me kind of like little mini featurettes through the different shows or something, and have some YouTuber that's like, hey man, these all go together, and then, you know, let me go find it and watch it.
Right.
Right. But the idea being there, yeah.
So last little bit before we end the episode, Sharon Carter, because I watch things with the closed captions on, and if you weren't paying real close attention to who she was on the phone with, she was on the phone with Batroc, and hiring him to drop the weapons off for Carly. And she also mentioned during that conversation, and someone translated what he was saying in French, and he was talking about how he said, when he was yelling at her, he's like, I lost my whole team last time. So she hired him for the whatever he was doing when he was kidnapping that guy in the first episode that Sam broke up. So we don't know, you know, we've said it since we saw her that she's a power broker, but she's definitely in to it. She's the one who hired him for the first episode, and she's definitely the one that hired him to drop the weapons off for Carly this episode.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that's just like she's a bad person now, or because she's kind of on the run and displaced as well and seen the inside of the machine, like she's the quiet backer to this little rebellion that is slowly and quickly gaining steam and seems to also probably get Sam and some of these other supers on the side? Like, because I'm still not totally convinced.
She's going about it in a real terroristy way.
Yes, she is. I mean, and again, like a lot of that interaction gets back to how our captain like always interrupted shit. Right. Like we were third episode in and Sam was all of like, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Second away from having everything literally almost sorted out completely with her, or at least enough that they were going to sit down and talk and understand what was going on. And then he's just like, nah, gotta go in and boom, you know. So I'm not sold that the Captain America we all want in our lives is going to be like gung-ho for our government.
I completely agree with you there.
And I don't think why can't I remember his name? Metal Arm Homie is
Bucky.
Yeah, Bucky. Such a goofy little name too. You should be able to remember it. is most certainly like, I'm not working for any government. Like, fuck all of y'all.
Bucky wants to retire to the fishing boat with Sam's sister and enjoy life. And I want to watch that show. I just wanted that. Yes. I want that peaceful day to day show.
Yeah. Like the parenting bullshit, like the kids giving him crap and him like holding a cup and he's angry and it just like crushes, you know, like kind of shit. And it's like, you didn't see that. Don't tell mom. You know, like
something I noticed too that you brought that you just reminded me of. So when the boys were playing with his shield, when they were, you know, of course the shield sit there, you're gonna pick it up and play with it. He was sleeping on the couch, and like that already shows his like progression from I'm only sleeping on the floor and back to what Sam and Steve Rogers talked about in Civil War, Winter Soldier, whichever one it was, where they were talking about how, you know, bed feels too soft. You got to sleep on the floor. You know, I go from sleeping on rocks, using rocks as pillows, and I can't get in my bed anymore. So, and Bucky's notoriously been on the floor this whole season so far, and now he's on a couch sleeping. So the man's getting a little bit more comfortable and, you know, coming out of his shell, so to say, feeling better. And that's cool to see. That was kind of a neat, like, it was just a little thing, but he was on a couch, which is kind of a big deal for him. So
yeah, I remember they pointed that out in the movie Castaway, you know, when Tom Hanks got back.
You know, I've never seen that movie.
Okay, so
I know the whole plot.
Yeah, the whole plot. Like, he's trapped on an island by himself. There's a volleyball, blah, 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 blah. Like, you get it. He makes his way off and eventually ends up finishing his deliveries. Right. Mm-hmm. That's what he
I know the does. Plot. I just never seen it.
Yeah. But when he comes back and, you know, they found him and you have the whole like rationale that, you know, I've been on an island for 2 years. His wife is like, I moved on, thought you were dead. Bullshit. You know, like you get the whole like, oh, man, you're not really going to give me like a super happy ending in this movie, are you? Like, I went through a whole bunch of really the man lost goddamn volleyball. Fuck you. And I'm not saying his name because everyone's going to just start saying it now, like that's watching this shit. So I'm trying to like stave that mental fucking block for everybody right there. And he gets back and like they come in and they're like talking and his like has like a pillow on the floor and then like maybe a blanket and he's laying there and they're like, but you have this really nice bed over here, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, I don't know how to sleep on that anymore. It's like, it's not right, basically, you know? And yeah, like that's got to be weird. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, being a soldier or being in such conflicting areas where comfort of that nature is just not an option. And the fact that it is so foreign for so long that when you come back to something that is supposed to be like, oh, dude, I'm comfortable. You like you get in it and you go, what world am I in? Like, you're foreign to it. It's that's got to be crazy.
Right. But hey, we're looking forward to next week. I can't wait to see how the finale rolls out.
Just so you can see inside the box. Open.
I just like, want to see in the box. Honestly, the fact that it didn't
glow. I hope it pans to him closing the box and then like putting it under the bed and we don't see it the rest of the episode.
Until the very end and when he reveals it.
He pulls it back out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm really sad it didn't like glow gold. Like it didn't have like the gold light when he opened it like Pulp Fiction. Like I'd been like, you know what? Of course it glows like that. It should glow like that because any box you can't see into glows gold.
I think it is my own mental optics now because if you asked me if that box glue, like I would have been like, yeah, dude, it was fucking glowing. Like,
right.
You're telling me, well, I would have to go back and watch it again. Any reveal, slow reveal like that, briefcase.
There should be light coming from the box.
No. There is. Always see light. There is. It's not optional anymore.
That's just an aneurysm. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Do you smell pennies?
Does everything taste like copper?
Right. Well, that's it for us for the podcast, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. You can always find us over at the Two Dads React YouTube channel or go to twodadsreviewed.com to find all of our links to where you can listen to the podcast as well. If you're finding us for the first time, either on YouTube or on the podcast, thank you for finding us and listening. And we'll be back shortly after Friday with our reaction video to episode 6. Until then, we'll see you guys.
Take care, guys.